Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
So we're technically pre-recording this before Halloween, although this is after, way after Halloween that you're going to listen to it, but our Halloween party is coming up this weekend, and I am excited, mostly because Kevin and Melissa's other plans got canceled, and now they might come to my party.
Does that mean I have to come up with a costume?
Costume like, and yeah. sweet like dessert costume tomorrow. No pressure.
You just take inspiration from the office and, you know, blood spatter or something on you. And you're like, I'm a murderer. Or like three black circles. You're like, I'm three hole punch, Melissa.
I feel like we should have a whole segment where Ryan just comes up with last minute Halloween costumes because those were great.
I mean, we also have a whole room full of balloons that I can twist.
Oh, look at that. Yep. Any costume you can imagine.
Blood splatter balloons. I mean, I don't know.
Ryan is on the dark side of that. We just finished recording a live playthrough of the new Night of the Living Dead.
A zombicide game.
From CMON. We had a great run through on that. We totally crushed it. Took out all those fatties and breakers without even breaking a sweat.
Everyone was a little disappointed you did it so fast. It was pretty amazing.
I rolled perfect rolls every time.
I was expecting it to take a little bit longer, but we were pretty efficient.
Yeah, but it was the introductory scenario. Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to play the hard one next time.
Back to like the party, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was online. It seems like the popular food is to cut up mushrooms and to draw cut out little eyes and nose for a skeleton head. Have you guys seen this online?
That makes sense.
Oh, so the mushrooms
eating
like
mushrooms?
Yeah.
Skulls, though. Yeah.
I won't eat the mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
I know. Sarah and I like mushrooms, and I've seen this. I was like, those look cool. It seems like it'd be pretty easy to fry them up, and they look like all shriveled and stuff. So,
nice.
I saw some pretty great desserts because I was doing some searching so I could tell Sarah to make the great desserts. Mm-hmm. I found these great cookies cut in half and then filled with marshmallows so it looks like smiley teeth and then like iced in with red icing. Okay. It looked like
splattered for Ryan?
Yes. Looked like an intense sugar rush, but also looked like some great vampire teeth, which was pretty cool.
So last year, we didn't end up having a party because Will and I stayed in Germany an extra week after Essen.
This was Essen
week.
Which
didn't happen this year. But now we can have our party. The last year before that, Katie made this pretty awesome brain cake.
I do remember that.
Definitely bloody, like Ryan's it was scary. Enjoying tonight.
Katie,
was strawberry jam all over it. That had been melted.
Chunky.
It looked like congealed blood.
That was good. The Pilses and the Meadows usually go all out with their costumes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I remember Will.
Oh, wait. Will's
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Weren't you Mary Poppins one year?
Kinda. Mary Poppins is cool. I can't remember what he says.
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
Yeah, y'all. That's right. I can't remember his name. Yondu from Avengers. That was pretty great. I'm actually kind of reprising a similar hairstyle.
Okay.
For this year's Halloween costume. Stay tuned.
All right. Ryan, you got something up your sleeve?
I do. I feel pretty good about it. I don't know if anybody else will think it's as cool as I do, but I'm going to enjoy
it. If Farron's Baby Yoda and you are Mando, then, I mean, that's like a match made in heaven.
That would be cool, but the kids are coming as, like, fantasy creatures. Katie has this whole druid outfit that she's built out of, like, natural materials.
Cool.
Bark and moss she's been collecting.
What?
It's going to be awesome.
Are we going to have to, like, transform some of this for our Onward playthrough later?
Ooh.
Oh, that would be neat.
Okay.
Katie does kind of kill it when it comes to costumes. What I can't remember the name of the painting.
Last time she was Frida Kahlo.
That was freaky.
Which is a famous artist.
It was so nailed. It was just
like everybody, even if you didn't know who the artist was, you were like, ah, totally know which painting
she's
that is.
The South American artist who has the unibrow. So
it's pretty.
Those of you who don't know her name, off the top of your
head. It's not good.
It's not, but she looked exactly
she did.
Like
Katie did pull it off. Dark hair and olive skin, and she drew a unibrow. Wow, she looks exactly like it.
It was pretty.
Thanks
hilarious.
For the reminders.
Excellent stuff. Well, definitely looking forward to that. It's going to be a bunch of fun. We'll be playing some games at the event, but we have been playing some games just recently. And this week, we had a game night earlier this week. I played mostly games that are coming to Kickstarter, actually.
Melissa and I played some games that are published.
Okay, talk about those.
One of our favorite companies, CGE, always comes out with usually like a big game around Essen time, Gen Con Essen, and they just released The Lost Ruins of Arnak, and it's a pretty big box game, worker placement game, where you're exploring out in the like a jungly sort of thing, and you're finding...
Kind of like an Indiana Jones type of thing, kind of. Exploring the jungle to find these artifacts and ruins.
Different transportation that you're collecting throughout the game, cars and planes, and you can walk to different locations. That how you transport yourself really matters where you can go and what kind of actions you can take.
And that's done through deck building. So you start with a certain number of cards in your deck. Every player starts with the same types of cards, and then you can purchase more cards throughout the game. Some are items, and some are artifacts.
Yeah, that part of the deck building game mechanic is really interesting because at the beginning of the game, there's a lot of items available, but as you move through the game each round, there's more artifact cards that are available in the tableau in the market, and it's really interesting that mechanic how they are revealed. And I think I won the last game.
You might have. Melissa, I don't know.
Melissa didn't get enough artifact cards.
True. We played a 2-player game, and Kevin did beat me. Although I think when we played 4-player. I still didn't win.
Nope.
I think I was Ben, about to be like...
It was way better.
I didn't.
I think our friend Ben won that one. So, yeah, really enjoy Lost Ruins of Arnak. As you move further into the jungle area, it gets harder and harder. There's the darkness cards or fear cards that you're getting to that really hurt your deck building part of the game. So,
yeah, and there's...
Junk up your deck. That's the word.
A research track that you can go up, so... There's different paths you can take to points, defeating guardians, getting lots of idols when you search new places. So you can kind of decide how you want to play your game and which avenues you want to pursue.
You talked about the research side?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the research aspect.
Yeah. It's interesting. We'll probably work on a video of that soon, so you can check that out on our YouTube channel. And we played some games tonight. We played the Night of the Living Dead, and we played the Power Rangers game, which is coming to Crowdox.
A deck-building game as well. Yeah, that was interesting.
Ryan's got something?
We had played those earlier in the week, and it went much differently. The Power Rangers.
Tell us about that.
Earlier in the week, because I was like, heroes always win. I'm going to be a hero again. And nope, the villains won the second time.
I think.
Sorry. Hopefully it wasn't because your partner was.
No, honestly, I think this is what happened. Usually the games that I've played so far of the Power Rangers game, they've been under an hour. This one took about an hour and a half. I feel like because the game went longer, it gave enough time for the villains to power themselves up and power themselves. And we had enough of these master cards, which really started hurting the heroes a lot more. So I felt like there was a tipping point after the hour mark, because I think if the heroes can come in and just smash the villains, I think they can really wipe them out really quick, because we had down like 6 or 7 health at one point.
Yeah, I did feel like we worked pretty well as a team, because there was a lot of times where I was like, man, I'm going to have a killer turn. And then they were like, somebody has to discard cards. And I was like, Kevin, do you want to discard cards?
Yeah, I think we played off each other. I discarded cards, you discarded cards. That master really helped block some big attacks.
You start off with a card that helps you eliminate some of the cards in your deck, but I was never able to use it because there weren't villains out. So my deck was just so watered down at the end of the game. It was really hard to get anything accomplished. Other than that, I did play a game, Smiles and Daggers, Smirk and Dagger, which is an entirely different company.
You didn't quite get
Smiles
to
and Daggers from Matigo.
Right.
We're going to be doing a video for this later.
Cool.
And it's a very simple, rather short game, but I could see it being like really complicated with like the prisoner's dilemma kind of thing you have if you get a number of people out there. Because what you do is you have three types of cards. Everybody has the same deck to begin with. You have one lord, two ladies, and three knights. The lord can be played to get two coins, or he can be played mean or competitively or whatever.
As a jerk.
Yeah, to eliminate a lady. The lady can be played to get one coin, or she can be played competitively to eliminate a knight. The knight can't get any coins, but he can also be played competitively to kill the lord. So what you do is you challenge one person and you tell them, hey, let's cooperate and let's both get coins. Mm. And you place a card facing them either competitively or cooperatively. And they have to guess, you know, did he fight me or did he try to go for coins? And they place their card facing you as well. And then you both reveal if one of you was competitive and had the triangle there of lord beats lady beats knight beats lord, they may have eliminated your character.
Oh.
And then that person's just removed from the game and you have one less card that you're playing with and you don't get any coins. If they aren't able to eliminate them, you still get the coins. Then all of the other players, they, with their knights, if they have any left, are guessing who did what. Not necessarily the lord, lady, knight, but did they play cooperatively or competitively? They don't have to bid, but if they bid correctly on one, they place their cards next year's, and depending on how they orient it is how they're bidding. If they guess part of it correctly, they get a coin. If they guess both persons, like if they orient their card like this person's competitive and this person's cooperative, they can get two coins. But if they're wrong at all, they lose their knight. So you can very quickly lose your cards. So it's kind of nail biting. And we got to the point where it was just three of us. So the others at the table were just like, I'm not even going to try to negotiate. I'm challenging you. Guess what I played? So it was pretty close there at the end. I think it's the first person to 9 coins wins the game. So it's a very quick game. I think they say it takes like 20 minutes. It took us like 15.
Because, how many players?
It goes up to 6.
Okay.
So there's 6. Seems like more family.
Would be more intense. Is that probably true? Or is it like nail biter with two players?
Yeah, more would be more intense because you don't know what other people are bidding and you're trying to psych out the people guessing you as well as the person you're challenging. One small complaint, I think all of the card art is different, which is really neat because they all represent different families. But when you flip it over, you have to look at how many coins are showing because
you can't tell
knights,
from them.
Their knights don't look like your knights. Their lord doesn't look like your lord. At least initially for me, that was a struggle to be like, oh, wait, what did you actually play? Won? But it is obvious the light and dark side, whether they're cooperating or being competitive. So it was a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Looking forward to the video.
Yeah. Cool stuff. We had an opportunity to play a game with the kids this week, which was actually pretty slick.
We did. It was called the Kringle Caper, and this is from Grand Gamers Guild, and this is a small box, 18-card deck escape room that is Christmas-themed.
Cool.
And it plays in about an hour or so.
Yeah, it took a little longer than I thought, in a good way.
Like, yeah.
I looked at it and I was like, 18 cards. Oh, we'll be done with this in 20 minutes. But there were some challenging puzzles, so it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
It was helpful to know a little bit about the Christmas holiday. So there was, you know, a couple things that came up that the kids weren't as familiar with that Will and I were. But it was a good family weight escape room to do together.
Yeah, it would definitely be a perfect like stocking stuffer type thing. I'm sure they have it for sale on their website now. It was just quick and fun. And actually, I was surprised at how excited the kids were about it. It wasn't, I mean, the table presence is, it's 18 cards on the table. But you flip over that first card and all three of them were immediately, like, I was actually kind of surprised by who guessed how to solve which puzzles.
Because
a couple of them were pretty tough. And Lincoln was like, oh, I know the password. It's da-da-da-da. And like, how did you figure that out?
So one nice thing that goes with this game is you can log in. There's a little QR code on the first card. And you can log in on the Grand Gamers Guild website. And if you get stuck, it times you and it asks you to put in each of the answers for the puzzles. And so if you get something wrong or are confused, there's hints available to you in on the website. So it's a good way to keep track of everything.
Right. It gives you a score. It confirms that you were right. It helps you out if you're lost. So kind of like an app, but it is just web-based. Yeah, that was a fun one. Really slick, the Kringle Caper. One other game that we got to play to this week that we're going to be talking about later in the episode because we're going to have the designer join us as a house guest was Raiders of Scythia, coming from Garfield Games and Renegade Game Studios. Shem Phillips is going to join us later to talk a little bit about the journey on where that came from. We won't talk about the game too much, but if you're not familiar with it, Shem is the designer of the Raiders of the North Sea games and of the West Kingdom games, and Raiders of the North Seas is a very similar game to this, and I literally, we're getting ready to do a review of Raiders of Scythia, and I'm sitting there, you know, like, what is the story here? This is so similar. Did he have to convince somebody? Did somebody ask him to remake it? What's the tale? I want to know. So we're pulling him onto the show so we can all find out together. Let's jump from this, though, right now and give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode, we have two sponsors. Knight Games is bringing Harry Potter Catch the Snitch to Kickstarter, and Kevin will be talking about that a little bit more in our Kickstarter conniption. Our other sponsor is Snowy Pier Games. Their game, Tattered Tales, is a storytelling game where players work in teams called publishing companies to create unique stories. As co-authors of the tale, teammates must use a diverse set of random items to create a story that resolves a given situation. There is limited time to figure out how to use the items available to make the story immersive and entertaining. Players shift to new publishing companies each round, but the player who helps create the most captivating stories throughout the game claims the title of Master Storyteller. And Snowy Pier Games has given us a game to use as a giveaway. So, Sarah, tell our listeners how they can enter this giveaway.
Sure. If you head to tantrumhouse.com and scroll down just a little bit on that homepage, on the right, there is a button that says Enter Current Contest. So if you'll put your shipping address in there, anyone who enters that is available to be a winner on one of our prizes that we give away. So if you enter your info in there, and we will randomly select a winner from the list.
Yeah, I think it's actually just the email address, but same thing. Fill that in and we'll let you know if you win. Let's jump from this into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about three games coming to Kickstarter the week of November 2nd, 2020. Start us off, Kevin.
Yes, so like Melissa mentioned, Knight Games is launching Harry Potter Catch the Snitch on Kickstarter. Knight Models is really well known for their very highly detailed miniatures. They have already done some Harry Potter themed miniatures, and I think they did some Batman and some other IPs. But this new one, game that they're bringing to Kickstarter, Harry Potter Catch the Snitch, is, if you're familiar with the world of Harry Potter, you dive in to the Quidditch field, and this is a two-player only game where each player controls a team of, I believe, six or seven of the broom-flying wizards as they play the game of Quidditch. And in the box, you actually have all four houses. So you have Gryffindor and Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw and Slytherin. And it's up to you which team you want to put together for the game of Quidditch. The game is in two phases. And phase one is more about playing, getting the quaffle and putting that through the goal. But it's really important as you do that, you're able to gain the snitch cards, which really will help you in phase two to be able to catch the snitch, because that's the name of the game. And whoever can catch the snitch wins the game, and is the winner of that game. So check it out. Night Games is launching that this week, called Harry Potter Catch the Snitch. And we will be doing a playthrough of this on our channel next week. So you can check that out on our YouTube channel. And I'll be doing an overview video of that as well. So Harry Potter Catch the Snitch from Night Games. Ryan.
Well, it's been a long time coming, but it's finally here. November 2nd, Battle Scars from Utter Board Games is coming to Kickstarter. So check it out. This is a miniatures on a hex map battle game in which players are controlling hover tanks and these big hover battleships and little walker mechs and like Humvees with missile racks on the back and VTOLs, and you just attack each other. It looks like it's going to be pretty cool. The miniatures are pretty neat. And one of the really cool things about the game is there are like hard points on the miniatures that are swappable. So you could have on some of them, like the hovering battleships, they have three different hard points on them. And you could have three long range guns on there, or a long range gun, a medium range gun, and a defense tower. So you can kind of customize your armaments for some of these units. And I think that is pretty cool. The different tower models that you can insert into these minis. Also, something that really stood out to me about this game is they're trying hard for, as you play, once you have had your forces experience attrition, where you don't have as many forces, they become more powerful. So you are always in it to win it up until the very end of the game. And I like that they're trying to keep that balance there. Even though you might have lost some of your units, you can still be strong enough to put up a defense or offense to earn the points needed to win the game. So check it out. Battle Scars, November 2nd. Will, what do you got?
I'm looking at the game Pakakuna from Treaser Games. This is a two-player pickup and delivery game that has got a pretty fantastic theme to it. In the game, you are controlling a fleet of
backpacks.
Llamas. So in the game, the game is a hex-based board, and it's got this interesting system to it where half of the hexes, like half of each hex is lower and half of it is higher. And the idea is that in the game, you have two different types of llamas. Some of the llamas can only travel through the valley areas of the Andes, and some of them can only travel through the mountainous regions. So you'll be using your action points to move the llamas around to pick up resources and dyes that you will be using to make some great authentic clothing and different wear that will score you victory points. It's a two-player game, and you can gain additional llamas in the game, and trying to figure out the best path to use, whether you're using the high or low level llamas, is going to be the majority of the game. It looks pretty clever, though. Each of the llamas has a little like slot on its back so that as you pick up the colored cubes that represent the dye and different materials in the game, you put it onto the llama and then you prance, is that the word?
Prance.
You prance your llamas around. You spit, watch out for the spit, yep. And it just looks really great. The artwork for it is super cool looking. It's illustrated by Joanna Tarkella. Sorry for botching your name. And yeah, it's got a really nice aesthetic to it. The components are simple, but pretty fun looking with the little llamas with their back saddles.
So are the llamas like the wiry, feisty llamas? Or are they like the cute, cuddly alpaca type?
They're like, we need to invent a word for it. Like leeple? Leeple's not a good word. They're very meeple-y. the actual components, the illustrations, they don't look too ornery. I think these are the helpful, fluffy, like
oh good
noble.
Not like, Tina, eat your food.
Right. Not that llama. My favorite llama. It looks pretty cool, though. Check out Paca. Paca? Is it Alpaca? Paca Kuna coming to Kickstarter. I think that wraps up the Kickstarter conniption portion of the show. So we definitely want to talk for 2 more seconds about Raiders of Scythia, because I think Sarah liked it a lot. What was your quick rundown of the game?
So I thoroughly enjoy Raiders of the North Sea, first of all. I like the mechanism of you get 2 actions on your turn and you have to weigh, you know, if I have to place my worker on an empty space that it has the right requirements of the color of my worker. And then I have to take one of these spaces that has a worker on it. I'm picking up a different worker. So usually there are 3 available to choose from, unless you're out raiding, and then there's different requirements for the raiding. So if you're trying to gain resources and stuff, you have to weigh, what am I putting down? What am I taking it? So Raiders of Scythia has that same base mechanic, but Shem did a few different things with the mechanics, refined some things. There are more cards available that instead of just having those Vikings in the North Sea Raiders, this has other people that you will add to your group. And then there's also animals that can give you different abilities, which I thought was interesting. You can equip every person with 2 animals, a horse and an eagle, to give you extra abilities and bonuses on your turn. And then instead of just your Vikings, some of them end up dying on these raids, you actually track health on them. So there are ways to heal them back at the camp if you are just doing the resources. And some of them have abilities that allow you to heal. But I thought that was an interesting change to that original Raiders game.
Yeah, definitely. I think that taking wounds concept was actually introduced in one of the expansions to Raiders, which we haven't actually played, but this game definitely features the best parts of the North Sea game, the best parts of the expansion, and some new twists. It's also illustrated in a brand new style, which is very cool. So, yeah, really interesting stuff. Definitely enjoyed it. We're going to have a review video of it on our channel probably by the time you're listening to this, so you can definitely check it out to see what we're talking about. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and welcome Shem to the house.
Hey!
All right, well, we're excited to be able to invite Shem Phillips into the house. He is the designer of the game that we're going to be that we've talked about a little bit already in this episode, Raiders of Scythia. He's also got a very rich line of games that precede this one, and I myself am very curious about kind of just how this all came to be. So, Shem, welcome to the house.
Thank you for having me in the house.
Yeah, we're excited to be able to chat with you. Now, you're chatting with us from New Zealand. Is that correct?
That is correct. Not Australia, like most people might assume. We're down in New Zealand.
Very different. but got a great accent, so that's always fun. Gotta love that. we are excited about Raiders of Scythia. We had an opportunity to play that a couple of times now, and there are obvious similarities between that and Raiders of the North Sea, and it just got me wondering, like, what was the journey that got to this point? You know, was this a goal from the beginning? Was this just the next step? How did the conversations go with Renegade? I'd love for you to just kind of jump in. Tell us a little bit about your game designing journey, and then if you could especially cover some of those, like, how do we get to this point, that'd be awesome. I'll give you the floor. Have at it. Tell us about some fun game stuff.
Cool. So yeah, Raiders is obviously the game that kind of, I guess, catapulted me into more a global scene, I guess. Before that, I was doing mainly kind of local games, very much like a hobby kit set kind of board game creator, boutique-y kind of style, until Kickstarter came to New Zealand. So the Shipwrights and then the follow-up Raiders. So that was like, I think it's 6 years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago, when I first started working on Raiders of the North Sea. So it would have been, I suppose, just over a year ago, maybe a year and a half. I was just sitting in my chair looking at my board game shelf, and I had about 4 or 5 copies of Pandemic, different versions, not counting like legacy copies or anything.
Oh, right.
So I was just sitting there looking at it going, maybe it's time for me to take a second look at Raiders, because, you know, it's still popular, it's still getting played a lot. And I've learned so much over the past 5 or 6 years as a designer and a developer. And just, you know, I've been co-designing with Sam McDonald for the last 3 or 4 years. And we've kind of created a bit more of a, I guess, style as designers. You know, lots of multi-use cards and things we like to use. So I wanted to reapproach the Raiders mechanism or the core game with all this new kind of insight or experience that I've gained, and sort of give it that second treatment in a way. That was the goal of the game, of the whole project, really.
Very cool. Now, this was illustrated by you and Sam. Is that your brother?
Yeah, so I did all the design work, and I guess I do the product kind of design, that kind of stuff. But yeah, the artwork and all the graphic design is done by my older brother, Sam Phillips. I've got a lot of Sams in my life, so it gets a bit confusing. But Sam Phillips is an artist, my brother, and then Sam McDonald is a designer as well.
Okay, perfect. Now, you've worked with the Micho on all the North Sea and I don't know why.
West Kingdom
games. Obviously, you needed kind of a break from that for this to be a different game. Tell us a little bit about the differences between, you know, working with one artist over the other, obviously one being your brother.
I definitely wanted to have a very different like visual style. Otherwise, people might think it's like a part of the trilogy or they have to get it. Or I wanted people to know that it's a completely standalone game. You don't need the North Sea systems or anything to play it. So that was kind of the reason. They're both great to work with. They're kind of quite similar in a way. They both just love drawing, and it's about all they love doing and playing computer games. So Micho is like really cruisy, easy to work with, and just so super creative, as you can see in his character designs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with my brother a bunch of times over the past couple of decades in various jobs. We worked 6 years together in a t-shirt printing factory. So we already know we work well together, and so I thought, well, he's kind of known more worldwide for his tattoo design. Does lots of kind of flash art and stuff for tattoo work.
Cool.
So he's been slowly kind of learning how to develop or move his style into board games. So kind of learning how to transition that a bit. So I think he's really hit the mark quite a lot on Scythia. Like his kind of style really shines with that particular theme, I think.
That I agree. It definitely nailed it. And I'm sure between the two of you, that's a formidable duo for some future potential and things. So then my mind immediately goes to, all right, so we see a new, you know, more refined version of Raiders. Can we expect new and refined versions of other games? Like what's going on in your mental process on that?
Yeah, that's crossed my mind. I do wonder, like, do we revisit kind of like the most popular game from each trilogy at some point? I'm not sure. Like, I just love making new games, so that's quite rare for me to go back and revisit a game. But I wouldn't rule it out. I'd probably want to wait at least 5 years again after something's been released. I don't know. I wouldn't say no, but we'll have to find out, I guess.
I think Viscounts is my new favorite, so I'm going to have to wait 5 more years. That's pretty rough. I don't know if I can... No, I definitely agree that I've enjoyed seeing the development and the growth in your design schemes as you've moved from game to game. It's been exciting to see, especially with the trilogies of games that iconography being reused and repurposed in brand new ways. So that's always exciting for me. Tell us a little bit about what it's like working with Renegade. So Garpil, you are Garpil, right?
Yeah, so it's basically me, my brother, and Sam McDonald are kind of Garfield Games. And then Renegade do our US and also worldwide kind of distribution into retail as their focus.
What was their thought when I assume you approached them with, hey, can we redo Raiders? Or was that a Kickstarter somewhere else? Or how did that become a Renegade game?
I just create a game, you know, like do all the development work and artwork and stuff. And then I present it to various publishers that I'm partnered with around the world in different languages as well. And just say, hey, this is the next thing. If you're keen, let me know. Otherwise, no pressure. And Renegade are just great. They generally just go, yep, we're on. Like they just grab almost anything, because I think for them, it's kind of like there's no need to do development or do art product, you know, what do you want to call it? Like the creative kind of stuff of developing the product and getting
pre-production.
Pre-production. Yeah, it's just, here's the files, chuck your logo on and done. So I'm not saying they'll always say yes, but so far they pretty much have. So
Yeah, once you've proven yourself with 6, 7, 8, 9 times over, that probably gets a little bit easier. What do you think has been the response to the game in general? I mean, I think from the reviews that I've seen from my own experience, it does feel like a refined and, maybe a smoother version of Raiders. Do you think, are people getting hung up on the fact that the two of them are so similar, or is everybody on board for a new one?
It's kind of mixed. I think... Like my intention is, like, if you just love Metrozarwick and love Vikings, like, that's cool. Enjoy the North Sea. Like, we've got that for you already. But if you want something like a fresh take on it, and you want some different art style, different theming, and you want a more like concise game in a box, it's not like two expansions and extra stuff. It's just one solid game that plays smoother and quicker and deeper and really more replayable, than Scythia's kind of that option. So I think for me, it's not like, I don't want to make the two kind of collide and compete. I think they're two, while they're quite similar, they might appeal to different people for different reasons. So I think what I've noticed is there's some kind of like a bit of polarization, as far as like people either go like, that doesn't deserve to exist, or they say like, oh, I love it, it's the best thing ever. So that's quite funny. No, I think it's fine. People can take it or leave it. It's, you know, as long as they're playing games and having fun.
Right. Excellent. Love that mentality. So conventions have been very weird this year, but are you typically the type that shows up at the board game conventions? When could we ever run into you?
So I've been to Essen twice, Essen-Spiel, and I've been to Gen Con once. And I was going to go to Gen Con this year, but obviously that didn't happen. We fortunately had a small convention here on the weekend called Wellicon, which is our local one. So that was cool. We're actually doing a convention in New Zealand, which is crazy. But I do really hope to get to Gen Con if it goes ahead next year.
Cool. Yeah. We made it to Essen last year for the first time, our first experience there, and had a ball. It was truly amazing. We are definitely looking forward to being back in future years. And then, yeah, we're almost always at Gen Con, so we'd love to be able to connect with you if you show up at one of those in the future. Hopefully definitely. We have some of those. Two more questions for you. One, what is currently on your shelf of shame? Are there any games that you haven't gotten to play yet that are still sitting in shrink wrap?
Gosh, that's
is it a long list? No,
surprisingly, I've never been asked that question. It's usually, what have you been playing? What do you enjoy? Actually, I've got Legacy Season 0, which is unboxed.
Okay.
We have yet to start it. It should be Wednesday. So I guess that's a shame that we didn't play this Wednesday, I suppose.
That's a barely shelf
right,
of
yeah.
shame.
It's brand new
it.
And you're playing it Wednesday. That may be the least shameful I've heard yet. I've gotten some great responses to that, where this one's been on my shelf for 2 years. I'm going to play it soon.
I would usually get rid of it if I haven't played it in like a year. I'll just pass it on to someone else.
Yep, you have time to do that. And then the other question is, what great stuff have you been playing recently?
So we played Tidal Blades a couple of times this week.
Cool.
And we played a really weird Dungeons & Dragons game last night, which was like a, I think it was in fighting or something. That's just bizarre. Played Kuato, Azul, the Pavilion.
Yeah. Cool.
Been playing Dragopano with my daughters. And
oh, yeah, I just saw that. How was that? Did the kids really like it?
Yeah, it's really good. My girls are 6 and 7. I taught them once and then taught them with the variant, and now they can teach themselves and play by themselves. So, yeah,
perfect.
It's a pretty good game.
Yeah, we've got 3 boys. Our youngest is 8, and yeah, one teach through, and they are teaching the neighbor kids the next day. So
that's awesome.
It's a blast. It really is. Okay, well, cool. And then one other question, no pressure to answer, but is there anything else coming up cool that you want to tell us about that either you're working on or, you know, a part of or looking forward to?
So obviously we've got like Scythia, Tome Saga, and Viscounts are all pretty much coming out now, very soon at least. And then our next game is Hadrian's Wall, which is designed by a UK guy living in New Zealand called Bobby Hill. It's a very thematic kind of, it falls into that roll and write kind of genre, but it's very crunchy, medium to heavyweight, 1 to 6 players. Same art style as Scythia. So it's coming out probably to pre-order in a couple of months and then into retail in March. And then we've got a bunch of expansions for West Kingdom and some other projects for next year as well. So we're quite busy, which is good.
Excellent. That is very good to hear. And we will keep an eye out for all those. Those sound fantastic. And yeah, very much have enjoyed Raiders of Cizia. If you are listening to the podcast right now, you can check out our preview video or overview review video. Should be up by the time this podcast goes live. So check that out and you get a good look at what the game looks like and all the cool stuff that we have been enjoying and talking about this past hour. Thanks so much, Shem, for being with us. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Cheers. Thank you.
Bye. Really neat getting to talk to Shem, get the kind of backstory on some of the cool stuff that he has had the opportunity to do, and maybe even catch the titles of a few new ones that are going to be coming out. We'll be looking forward to seeing what those actually bring to the table. And yeah, really interesting to see the development that he has seen over the years, to see that he recognizes that too. And maybe in 5 years, I'll get a new Viscounts. That'll be even more cool.
Can't wait.
Well, as we've promised you, we need to give you some information on TantrumCon. As you have probably heard from other episodes or from watching us online, we have canceled the in-person event, but we had a great brainstorming session today. Actually, one of my favorite lunches, even though everybody disagreed with me on stuff, we came up with some really solid ideas because we, to be honest, have attended several digital cons this year, have not been really honestly excited by any of them.
One of them was okay.
Some of them were better than others, for sure. We obviously only participated in limited venues or whatever.
Capacities.
Yep. In these events. But as we are trying to put together this TantrumCon Digital, TantrumCon 3.0, this is our third one, TantrumCon, you tell us what we should call it.
Tantrum Virtual Con?
Yeah, I think we came up with some pretty cool ideas today. So I would love to see if we can pull those off. We need to start doing some testing now because I think we want to try to pull some inspiration from other events that we've been to that weren't specifically board game conventions and really try to knock this one out of the park. So definitely trying to find ways that you can interact with us besides just playing on Tabletopia and really making it something that's entertaining and cool to sit down with and enjoy for several hours for a couple days. So we're probably still looking at the same dates. I don't even remember what those are, February 4th or something, whatever that Friday and Saturday is. And we would love for you to give us your feedback up front now, like maybe even just send us an email if you're interested in attending the con. If you've seen things at other cons that you enjoyed, if you have ideas for something that hasn't been done that you definitely think should be done, then we'll just assign it to Jonah since he's not here and he can make it happen.
Sounds good. Who'd they email? hello@tantrummouse.com?
That sounds great. Yep, you can go to our website at tantrummouse.com and fill out the contact form, or you could just send it straight to hello@tantrummouse.com. And we'd love to, A, hear that you're excited about it, B, get whatever feedback you might have, and C, we might even enter you for a prize winning or something. Who knows? So take a second, let us know what your thoughts are, and hopefully we will have even more information very soon. We need to have an official, full-on team documenting, writing down the plans event, but...
But there's still going to be table flipping in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, that is maybe going to be the best part. All right, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you're playing bunches of games. Hope you're staying healthy. And we'll look forward to catching you guys in our next episode.
Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
You spelled
so
scared.
This isn't something that we talked about during the podcast, but I was told to share it. So this is just going to be a bonus if you're still listening. Apparently, during our last Tantrum Talks event, Will was talking about in the Hall of the Mountain King,
right,
the music
piece Wagner
in the Hall of the Mountain King, mm-hmm, and about how when you listen to it, it's just so creepy.
It fits the Halloween theme.
But I don't think of it as creepy because of how I grew up. My dad used to write skits for our local church and some other churches, and they would use them at VBS. And so I think of... In the Hall of the Mountain King as the song that you sat down to during VBS because all the kids would walk into the auditorium to people singing, "Can you hear the sound of feet coming down our own street? It is King Arthritis and all his merry men."
It still sounds creepy.
So, yeah, and it was great talking about circumference of the globe and sirloin of beef. Oh, in, nice. In the
I
Hall of the Mountain
King. I feel like
King.
I missed out by not attending great your lyrics. VBS.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was just a little tidbit.
Do you think it's scary, everybody? Is it scary?
No.
No. I'm scared.
It's a good tune. Yeah.
It's a good Edvard Grieg.
Anyway, thanks for joining us. Have a good one. Bye.